him, but praise the Lord. All right, so tonight we're going to ask ourselves a question. What are we doing? That's a snarky question, isn't it, Bobby? What are we doing? He told me I was snarky tonight, so we're going to see if I can live up to that. So now I'm going to make a few statements while we talk about this. And Holy Spirit, you do whatever you want to do. We know we're pretty well taught. We know that we're human beings and not human doings. So we know being is first. That's who we are. But who you be should affect what you do. And it just so happens that what you do affects whether, who you are, whether you like it or not. The way you behave is going to, it's going to be out there. Right? Am I right? Yeah. It's not necessarily who you are deep inside, but, the choices you make are going to help develop who you, where you're headed. So, have you ever just been somewhere and all of a sudden you just go, what am I doing? Why am I here? We've probably been on a few dates like that when we were younger. Oh my God, why am I here? You know, or you may have in the old days when you were rougher, you may have gone to a party and said, why am I here? Go home. You know, make a good decision here. Or maybe you worked somewhere and you just said, you know, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? You know, and you may have to think about it and pray about it. But that question has come up to all of us. What are we doing now? What are we doing? You know, so you seem to get some enlightenment that you might need some more enlightenment. Okay. Now what's going on here? You know, you see what I'm saying? I think, what am I doing is a good question for us all. What are we doing? We here basically know things about ourselves. We're a child of God. You know that, don't you? You're a child of God. You're the righteousness of God. You're blessed of God. You're free from sin and condemnation. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only, not beneath. All those things are good. We know that we have the nature of our Father on the inside. And if we'll get to know Him, we'll start acting like Him. We know these things. We know that's how it should work. We shouldn't be earning to get somewhere with God. We should be becoming intimate with Him, having encounters with Him so He can live through us and we become more like Him. We understand those things. But just to go a bit further here, let's just establish a couple more things here we may need to establish. We all want to know what our assignment is. Everybody wants to know their assignment, our purpose, what to do in it. So right away we need to know that life doesn't have to be so hard. I remember the last sermon when I was here, I told you about the mom and the theme park. Now I brought you here to have a good time. You're going to have a good time. And God is basically saying that to us. I brought you here to have a good time. Now let's get with the plan. So God wants us to live well. He wants us to enjoy our time. We go through things, but we can come out of those things. And so we want to know that purpose. And I think all of us, we'd like to press the easy button. Remember the Staples commercial that had the easy button and you could just press it and yeah. So, but I'm just going to tell you in one sentence, how to make life easier. One thing, one sentence that'll help everybody in the room, everybody listening online, and it's this. Change systems. Come on. Change systems. You can't serve two masters. You can't have one leg out in the world and one leg in with God. You can't just, you know, serve the world and do things the way the world does it and get to where you want to get to. You serve the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of darkness know how to work their system better than the children of light know how to work theirs. Well, I think we need to fix that. We need to know how to work our system, and our system is the kingdom of God. And there's certain attributes, certain things that we need to do. So we need to learn how to do that. And so one thing that we know and that we really try to push here and make sure you understand is that you're working from the heavenly realm. You're working from your spirit. What happens on the inside is what's going to happen on the outside. And so, you know, in the kingdom, there's no lack, there's no sickness, there's no defeat. We work and we get from what we want from the spirit. We use our faith. We use the forces of life. But all these things are coming from the spirit realm. Even the very fruits of the spirit start connected. They are spiritual fruit. Amen. And they're a force that works for you. So I think we really understand that. So we do understand something about working for the kingdom. And, you know, we have to feed ourselves light food. Amen. You know, you can't just feed on the world all the time and have any hope of faith. You can't just watch the news all the time. You can't just watch whatever's going on there and just, you know, listen, studying all the darkness that's going on is no different than looking at pornography all the time. It's the same thing. What you look at is what you're going to become. And so it's sad to see that a lot of Christians are just helping the devil by producing darkness with all the worrying they're doing. They're just worrying and worrying and worrying and how and what and what am I going to do? And all it's doing is helping the enemy's camp. So that's not how we want to work the kingdom of God. So what I just said, you know, that's it in a nutshell. We need to stay on the victory side. Now let me ask you this question. What do you focus on? What do you focus on? Do you focus on sickness instead of healing? Weakness instead of strength? Trouble instead of victory? Poverty instead of prosperity? No, you stand, praise the Lord. You stand, and you stand right before God. You're standing right before Him. And you're saying, this is how the kingdom works. I am not under the curse. I will not take loss. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I'm not going to lack. I'm not going to take it. Will it try to come? Of course it's going to try to come. But I'm not taking it. I'm not receiving it. I'm not having it. I will resist it and it will flee from me. And that's how we operate in the kingdom of God. We resist the devil and he flees from you. Now, let's answer these questions here. Who am I in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God? Who am I in this? Well, we know that we are all members. The scripture tells us. Most of you know the scriptures about all being members. We're like a body. Don't say to the finger, da, da, da. Yeah, y'all know those scriptures. We're all members doing different things. My pinky does a different thing than my knee does, right? We all do different things. There's no big guns in the body of Christ. Jesus is the gun. We're the bullets. But we all play a different role. And so we need to know who we are. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, church, that's not in this particular scripture. He's not trying to prove an order necessarily. He's naming off these things. Sorry about that. But did you see the word helps? Now, that's a word. It's in the Greek. It's antilimbano. And what it is it means that you give aid or you give assistance, in the temporal matters of the church, members of the body, not members of the world, members of the body. Are you with me? And so what we would call the helps ministry helps the church. They render aid to the poor. Yes, they render aid outside of the church as well. We do that different ways. We're doing something right now with the snack thing, which I brought my snacks. Okay. Anyway. The greeters, the ushers, the children's church, the cleaning, the sound, the praise and worship team, the coffee shop, the restoration team, the prayer, pr- prayer teams like the thermostats, the benevolence team, the prison team, the nursing home team. I mean, we have such a good nursing home team that they just moved in there so they could minister to everybody. So Gladys and Eldred are now ministering to all of the old people. Glory to God. Thank y'all for doing that. Praise the Lord. They've always had a nursing home ministry, as long as I can remember. So I'm just calling this one the same thing right now. So, but all of these things, the outreach, the prison, the people that cook, the people that say, everybody that does something in the church. This is the point that I'm trying to make to you right this very minute. If you want to know who you are in life, help in the church. Oh, that's just you talking as a pastor because you're trying to get people to do a job here. I give you my word. That's not what my subject is about. My subject is about helping you. And see, I've just seen this for over 30 years, that people who help people get blessed. They hone in on what they really should be doing with the rest of their lives. They find what their real job is out there. They find what their assignment out in the community, out in the world, by actually serving in the church. Well, now, how do you know that's true out of that scripture? Well, you go look at some other scriptures. Galatians 6 says, "Sow to the Spirit." It says, don't grow weary in doing good. You do good to the body of Christ. You're helping. You are sowing into the Spirit. And the Spirit will sow back to you and tell you who you are. Amen. And so my advice to you would be, find something to do in the church. Be a part of something. You know, we have a lot of ushers and greeters and coffee people and all that, because anything you can find to do is going to help you be in tune, because you're sowing, you're working, you're sowing. And so you will find your life's work by working in the church. Amen. Amen. Well, about 10 of you think I'm right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The rest of you will come along. Now, serve in the church, you're going to find out who you are. The next thing that you would want to look at would be this. This is Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now catch, I will pull the context in here for you. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This context is written, Paul's writing this, and he's talking about eating and drinking. And he's saying that we don't want to eat and drink things in front of other people that would cause them to stumble. Okay. We actually do this when we eat with our Jewish friends. We don't eat the bacon with them. You see what I'm saying? Now, we have friends, some friends, that they know we're Christians. They don't care. They eat what they eat. We eat what we eat. But I'm just giving you an example. There may be some things that, because of what someone else is struggling with in their life, you would not want to do that in front of them. You with me? Okay, so that's what he's talking about here. So it says in verse 19, "So let us then definitely aim for and eagerly pursue what makes for harmony and for mutual upholding, edification, and development of one another." So it matters what Larry does in Mac's presence. It matters what Mac does in Art's presence. It matters. It matters what I do in Jesse's presence. You see what I'm saying? We care for one another, and we get in harmony, and we don't do things that would offend one another. Are you with me? You get where I'm going with this. Well, Pastor, tonight I just wanted you to teach on four ways to prosper. I'm giving it to you. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate that. Now, so our witness, and we talk a lot about this, our witness is that we succeed, but it's not just that we succeed or get our prayers answered. Our biggest witness is, guess what? Our integrity. That's our biggest witness, our integrity. Do we use people? Are we smart aleck to people? Are we kind to, what is, we have? Danny ate a Kind bar today and she said it made her feel more kind. So I'll start eating one before I come to church, I guess. So, praise. No, but just in reality, what do? Because you know, you could preach really good, but if you leave a trail of unpaid bills and broken commitments, they tend to override your witness. Ouch, but it's the truth. The people that I know that I've gotten close to have gone back and paid those old bills. If they got behind, they've gone back and paid them. They've cleaned up their credit. They've done what they needed to do. They stopped turning in cars and stuff like that. Amen. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Your integrity matters. People are watching you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, it's just a good thing with God to have some integrity. It's a big witness. You know, I'm not telling you that people won't say ugly things about you, but most of them will be lies because you're a person of integrity. Amen. And so, this is why we're actually told scripturally that leaders should be of a good reputation. You know, I don't think any leader in this church ought to get caught shoplifting, right? Or be hanging out at Fuzzy's Corner. Y'all are laughing because y'all know where it is. Amen. Now, don't be going out there. Praise the Lord. I'm kidding. So, there's always mercy. There's always truth. There's always love. But we do need to grow in character. And growing in character is what is actually going to help you become who you really are. It's what's going to make your business do well. Because you won't cheat. Because when you go through the drive-thru at the bank and they give you $150 back too much, you won't keep it and go off and go, look what Jesus blessed me with. You go back and say, excuse me, you know, and then they're so thrilled that you gave it to them that you have a good reputation there from then on out, you know. Or the Walmart lady or whoever it is, but you just are not going to let it slide. You're just not going to take advantage of someone who accidentally slips up. That's a very good thing. So there's always mercy, but, and you know, people say, well, everybody cheats now and then. Not everybody does. People make mistakes. But the further you develop in the word, the less cleanup should be happening. The more, you know, the more you get into the word and the closer you get to God, the less of a mess you're in. At least that's what happened to me. My life got way better when I began to follow the word of God and get in the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now here's something important I want to tell you. And I tell you this all the time, and I'm going to tell you again, because this is so very important. Worship God. If you want to know who you are, if you want to know what you're doing, worship God. Worship God in your house. Worship God in your truck. Worship God here, but worship God somewhere by yourself. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and truth. Who said that? Jesus to who? The woman at the well, right? Amen. John 4. Now, so, here, truth. God is seeking worshipers, not just worship ritual. God's seeking habitation, not just visitation. Worship's not about great song, the perfect songs and good musicianship. That's good, but that's just a vehicle. This is about you. It's about your heart. It's about your relationship with God. It's an act of pure adoration. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where above all circumstances, even without voices or instruments or the latest technology, with all the highs, the lows, the everything you can get in there, all the successful things, Whatever's happening in your life, you worship God, the King of Kings. Now, this is something that is going to make you know who you are. You're going to be surprised. The closer you get to God, the more you worship Him, the more you're going to find out what God has on His mind about you. If you wanted to know what I had on my mind about you, you couldn't keep your distance, right? I know what you're thinking, Bobby. Yeah, I know what you have on your mind. No, I'm kidding. But isn't that the truth, though? If you want to know, you're going to have to get close enough to ask. Right. Well, what do you think? Well, what's, you know, yeah. So it's same with God. You're going to have to be His friend. But this is the thing about the friendship there. He's the God of the universe. Your Father is the God of the universe. We're talking about the Great Spirit here. And so, and particularly, church, now in this great awakening, if we're going to live in the glory of God and move in the glory, you all know what's going to happen in this earth, don't you? The whole world is going to fill with the glory of God. It's going to start in hot spots. Well, Pastor, you've been saying that for years. Well, I see it happening right now. I see it happening all over the place right now. Just and some of it is a very contained, very just simple, easy worship, like in the universities. But it's just only getting started, guys. This is going to be something around this world. And you're going to see a lot of things with your eye that you've never seen before. And you're going to need some anointing, because we can't leave this all up to just the preachers. Your anointing increases by spending time with God, by worshiping Him. So, did you pick up what I said there? I said, God is seeking habitation, not visitation. I just want to call your attention to Psalm 23. Let me read Psalm 23:6 to you. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell. Here is a key. The key to goodness and mercy following you is dwelling. To dwell means to remain, to settle. It means habitation. It means to be seated. Listen, we say this all the time because it's a scripture. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my fortress. When does He become that to you? When you're abiding, when you're dwelling, when you're staying with Him, when you're flowing with Him, when He is your life, He's your protection, He's your covering, He's doing all these things. It's not, hello Lord, how you doing? I'm going to go out here and do this. I'll talk to you later. That's not it. Could you bless this thing that I've already come up with? No? No, He's got to come up with it. Amen. So the secret there is also this habitation that you're doing is it, you're in your worship when you're doing it. And I don't know about you. We'll all have different ways of doing that. Some people will sit down for a couple of hours and just worship God, and I do it sporadically throughout the day. I'll find a place to go and just worship God for a little while, sometimes longer than other. I'm going to increase that. It's time for me to increase that. It's time for to let Him rub off on me a little bit more. No, a whole lot more. Amen. And so worship. An interesting thing, well, maybe I'll tell you about that in a minute. Let me read Psalm 112:1 to you. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Now, I want you to remember this, those of you that are new, remember this from now on. Fear is a King James word. Everywhere you see fear is actually the word worship. King James changed it. It's actually worship, okay? So you never are afraid of God. He's your Father. He's a good Father. Maybe some bad dads you were afraid of, but you're not afraid of Him. He's a protector. If you respect Him, You respect who he is, certainly, but you worship him. Now, so blessed is the man that worships the Lord. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. There's another blessing that as you worship the Lord, your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren will be blessed. The blessing will be on them just because of what you're doing. It's a promise, all right. Amen. Now, here's a good one right here, verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. In other words, you can have wealth, you can have riches, it can be in your house, and you'll still behave rightly. You won't get all, it won't have you, you'll have it. You won't get all sucked up into materialism. Why? Because you're worshiping God. You're thanking God. You're blessing God. You look around in your house and you see the great paintings that God gave you, or the beautiful items that God gave you, and are the wonderful poodles that God gave you. And you're actually saying, God, thank you. Or the hound dog, whatever it is. Or what do you have? You have a little, she has a schnauzer. Okay. So anyway, whatever it is God gave you, you're grateful for it, but you're worshiping God. And you're not saying, I got me all these things. You know who got you what you got. Okay, yes. Thank you. This is a good place. Well, you know, wealth and riches are in the house of the worshiper. I will not tell the story of Cliff tonight in Hawaii, but I just want you to remember it. He worshiped God, and he ended up being the biggest tither in the church in Hawaii. If you haven't heard it, you can catch me on the side, and I'll tell it to you. I've told it so many times, I won't do it again. But, you know, you worship God. He's the biggest one in the universe. And I'll tell you about the victory very soon, but I had the enemy tried to come against me with something, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to start listening to Norval Hayes. Do you remember him? Anybody remember Norval Hayes? He's in heaven now. Pastor Nancy talks about him a lot. He's the guy who told that Cliff guy to worship God in his house, which gave him $85,000 every 7 weeks, which kept going forever. Da, da, da. So, I started listening to him, and he started talking about worship, and he started reminding me of all these things. And that man was a multi-millionaire over and over, and he could have cared less. It never changed him, but he would just tell you, yeah, I'm a multimillionaire. God just made me that way, but I worship God. He's real interesting, and he brought up some guy named Ken Copeland and talked about how generous this Ken Copeland guy was and how he bought Reinhard Bonnke's tent. That, remember when Reinhard's tent, some of you are old enough, his tent got all blown away and torn up. Well, Brother Copeland bought his new tent for $800,000. That's a pretty good seed. So he's talking about how generous you could be. He's talking about generosity, and he was talking about worshiping God. And so Brother Hayes is someone who really got a hold of worshiping God. And I'm telling you, wealth and riches came to him. It came to him. Something else came to him. The anointing of God for healing. The anointing of God for deliverance. And the anointing to teach faith like awesome. He could tell you how to speak to the mountain. And is an interesting way that he'd teach it. You just have to go listen to it for yourself. But I just got so thrilled that the Lord told me that. And then it ended up just culminating into everything I needed to hear right now. Praise God. The victory's already mine. I could just worship God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we worship God. Luke 12:1 says, this is something over that happened. This is the last thing I want to talk about here. Luke 12:1, in the meantime, when they were gathered together in an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch they trode one one upon another, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Now, when I was studying this, the word hypocrisy just came up off the page. I mean, you ever do that where you look at it all and I went, oh, well, he told you what the leaven of the Pharisees was. He didn't bother to parable it all out. He said, the leaven is hypocrisy. Beware of hypocrisy. Well, when I was growing up, and maybe for some of you, people say, the non-going church people, they'd say, I'm not going over to the church. There's just a bunch of hypocrites there. How many of y'all have heard that? Anybody? You've heard that? There's just a bunch of hypocrites over there. Well, I have to tell you, the one that's saying that is a hypocrite as well. But I have to tell you, it's been pretty true in the past. There is a bunch of hypocrites in the church, particularly those that get into religion, because they start getting self-righteous. Amen. And so the thing about leaven is that it may exist without immediately being detected. Praise the Lord. Hello, praise the Lord. How are you doing? Praise the Lord. And oh, they're so sweet and they're so nice. And you just don't detect at all what happens after they start driving home. And they're just so sweet and going, that's a good word, Pastor. And then when they get home, they're telling their family how offended they are over what the pastor said. That's hypocrisy. That's what it is. Hypocrisy is when you're actually faking it. Amen? It's clever. It's very clever. Leaven will infuse the whole mass. So hypocrisy will, if undetected and unremoved, soon saturate everything we do and feel. It'll take you over. If you start becoming a hypocrite, it'll take you over. Pretty soon, you might turn into a real liar. Now, you're not going to, but people could. People could. We're steering away from that. Beware of the leaven of religious stuff. The Pharisees were the ones that thought they were so high and mighty and they would pray out on the street and act all holy. And then they're trying to kill Jesus. Yes. You get that. They have a different motive. There are fake prosperity preachers. I don't really know any of them these days because I don't really look at any circle like that. But when I was growing up in the Lord, there was a couple of guys who were doing like what Brother Copeland and them do, but it failed because it wasn't real. And you found out later that they were charlatans. That's what they called them back then. But basically, hypocrisy is when you think you're really good and you're really doing well, but you're a stinker behind closed doors. Now, John told me a story that I love. He was raised over in Mark, Texas, and the Baptists didn't believe in drinking. You probably know that. And so I don't either, but I'm just telling you what they did. So they didn't believe in drinking, but John said they'd go in the back of the liquor store and get the liquor man to put their drink in a paper sack, a brown paper bag. They'd order it and they would pick it up in a brown paper bag so no one could see that they were actually drinking. That's hypocrisy. They're not, quote, practicing what they preach. So, and then you find out down the road, you know. Now there are people who are not hypocrites. For example, the deacons at our Baptist church. They did everything they needed to do, walk right out and smoke their cigarettes right on the front lawn. Right? But they weren't trying to hide anything. I love something that Larry told me one time. There was a person that came to church here. They've been gone from a long time ago, and a friend of his said, "Yeah, that guy comes in here every Friday, pick up his 12-pack." And Larry said, "Yeah, but he's in church on every Sunday morning." Now you're like, "Well, is he a hypocrite?" Well, he wasn't hiding it from anybody. That's the difference. He hadn't taken enough word in to break that habit. And there's always room for mercy. There's always room for that kind of stuff. There's always room. He wasn't hiding it. That's the difference. It is what it is. That's what's going on. And sometimes it takes people a while to overcome some things. But that guy came to church. Thank God he came to church. I mean, you can't clean them before you catch them. People gotta come in and they gotta hear the word in order to change. You're not gonna change without the word. You're not gonna get good without the word of God. Only the word of God is gonna change people. So if someone's hurting your feelings or you just don't understand why they're just such a mess, consider that they have no word. Man, that guy, I just don't know why he acts like that. No word, no faith, no love. It's a lot easier to forgive people when you realize that, isn't it? I just said this earlier to somebody. You know, God didn't find us in our prayer closet either. It's the truth. Beware of hypocrisy. Don't let it get on you. Don't start thinking you're Mr. and Mrs. Holy. By the grace of God, we are who we are. By the grace of God, we can do what is right and do it right because it's right. By the grace of God, by the word of God. But it's not going to be because we're a bag of chips. Praise the Lord. I wonder, think about foreign people who would hear this message when I say it's a bag of chips. They're like, "Oh, what does that mean?" You know. All that and a bag of chips. Amen. Okay. So, but leaven is real clever, so you have to watch out. It's swelling. It puffs up. It fills up with pride and vanity. "Well, I would never do what they did." You better watch it. You better watch it. No man is more proud than a hypocrite, and none is more revolting to God. The Bible says to humble yourself under the resourceful strength of God. You resist Satan. You humble yourself under God's power, and he will exalt you over a problem. He will exalt you in life. He will push you up. Oh, well, Pastor, is there a reason? Do you have an agenda for preaching on this? Has somebody in here been... We're headed somewhere, church, and we don't want to have parasite drag. We don't want to be dragging anything around, and, you know, because God's going to make us look really good. He is. He's going to make you look really good. He's going to bless where you are. You're going to be the best looking teacher in the place. You're going to be the best looking manager in the place. You're going to be the best whatever you are in the place. You are. God's going to make you look real good. He's going to make this church look real good. Because the anointing of God is here. And people are going to want to eat. Where do you like to eat? Think about it right now. Where do you like to eat? And you go, "That's the best place." That's what people are going to say about this place. Because they're going to get real food. Yeah, all they can eat. By the way, thank you for that on Sunday. I heard what you said. So, but while we're doing this, we don't need to be getting the big head. "Well, we have power." We're the ones with the power. We pray and people get healed. Better watch it. I'm just warning you, we're not going there. We are a part of the family of God, and we will do our part. I'm just getting you ready. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm getting you ready because guess what? You're about to get a compliment. You're about to get a client. You're about to succeed. You're about to get richer. You're about to be healed. You're about to lay hands on someone and get a miracle. This is all going to happen to you, and you need to know to stay away from leaven. Stay away from thinking that you had anything to do with it. Be like Casey said when the guy said, who is that woman? It was Jesus that healed you. It wasn't Roxanne Alexander. It was Jesus who healed you. So you understand why we're talking about it. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. Leaven will corrupt the whole of one's principles and practices and puffs and swells them up with a vain opinion of themselves. Not going to happen here. Not going to be said among us. Religion does that, and I'm not talking about Christianity. For those of you that don't know the difference, I'm talking about man-made religion. Christianity has had so much junk added to it. And it'll lift you up, and it'll cause you to have vain practices that you don't want. And as I close, I would just say this, though. You're going to have to be honest with yourself on both sides of the road. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? There's so many things that go on with the moves of, I'll call them moves of God. You know what I mean by that. The stirrings and things that go on with people. It's really moves of the people, actually. But when you, we'll get off over here sometimes, during COVID and the voting stuff and all that, everybody's really pushing over here on the prophets. What the prophets say today? What they say this hour? What they say the next hour? What they say the next hour? But you can get so caught up in that you're not listening for yourself, for your life. And then you can get way over here, and we know what that side is. Amen. You know, this side. Okay. Praise the Lord. This hand. Okay, so here's the sides I'm talking about, though, and I'll close with this. Making yourself the center of your own attention goes two ways. I can be, look at me. See how wonderful I am? That's one side. And it's not good. But there's another side that is just as selfish, and you need to hear me when I say this, because probably more people that are in the Word would fall into this side, and it is this. I am so worried and afraid, and maybe I better do something about this. Taking it on yourself on the other side. I just felt everybody go, "Wah," but I'm telling you the truth. You don't want to be puffed up and lifted up, and you don't want to be the worrier that looks at all the problems, talks all the problem, focuses on all the junk, and helps the devil with all that. That is just as much selfishness as thinking you're that bag of chips. It's the same thing. It's all selfishness. It's all one thing. So we go down the middle road. It's called worship God. Give him the glory. Give him the credit. Stop worrying about your personality. Stop worrying about whether somebody thinks you're wonderful. Stop worrying about if somebody loves you or doesn't love you. Stop worrying about what they're saying about you. Stop worrying about whether you're going to keep your job or not. Stop worrying about if you're ever going to get a job. Just stop worrying. Stop worrying about the economy. You're in the kingdom of God. Are you? Then you're going to make it. Listen. Brother Copeland's 86 years old. He went through all the wars. He went through everything. He can tell you the stories. And all these same kind of rumors were going around then. Banks crashing, all that kind of stuff that tries to come out. God's people made it through every one of them. And if you're in your closet worshiping God, he will tell you when to hold them and when to fold them.
That's right.
Just stay right there with him, and you're going to have the greatest success that you've ever had. Worship God. and he will help you with both. So this is what we have. Serve the kingdom system. Help the body of Christ. Help them. Help the church. Be a witness with integrity. Worship God. Don't fake it. Do it. I'm going to tell you, this is what we talked about tonight. Serve the kingdom system. Help the body of Christ. Be a help. Be a witness with integrity. Worship God and don't fake it. Amen. Y'all receive the word? Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that this is how we're going to know who we are. We're going to know who we are by staying close to you. We're going to know who we are by sowing to the Spirit, by being helps. We're going to know who we are by watching out for hypocrisy. We're going to know who we are by worshiping you day and night and being close to you. You said that you were the vine and we are the branches. And we know that if we abide in you and your word abides in us, we will ask what we will and it shall be done to us. And so will our Father be glorified because we will produce the fruit of answered prayer. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that.